Well, good morning. I want to encourage you next week in our morning services, just as we look at communion and have communion together, and just really have a wonderful time as we prepare just for Christmas that day. Man, it'll be a great day. I appreciate so much the issue of people, and I really do appreciate even this last Monday night as we were together. I stuck a cough drop to that page. It doesn't want to open. That's not a good thing to do. Monday night, as I mentioned earlier, it was very powerful to me. Often as we, in my own life, really trying to study and understand what the role of the Spirit of God is in our life. I think in many cases, depending upon where you come from today, when you talk about the Holy Spirit and its role in today's life and church and the economy of today's church, there's a polarization that takes place. And today's lesson is not about, the message is not looking theologically at all the ins and outs of the Spirit of God. I'd encourage you to do that. But I found that as I looked at the issue of all the cast of characters in the story that we come to, Joseph and Mary, and we're going to look at others today, the angels and the shepherds in the field and the wise men who come and baby Jesus and Herod and the cattle are lowing. I don't know what that means, but they're lowing. You know, the cattle are lowing out in the field. All the characters that we look at in the Christmas narrative. And yet there's one that's often forgotten, and that often forgotten one, I believe, is the Spirit of God. I believe the Holy Spirit, within the process of the birth narrative, is often overlooked. We come to that, and it's hard to overlook it, but we do, because in the first two chapters of Luke, even within that, it is written, and no less than seven times is the Spirit of God mentioned within the process of the narrative. You find the work in John the Baptist and Zechariah and Simeon, Elizabeth, the baby, all of the different things you see. That's what we call the Christmas story. But we don't ever find that just somebody had a great idea or somebody had a feeling or somebody got kind of... We find that everything that happened was prompted by the Spirit of God. It wasn't by too much pizza the night before. It wasn't by having a great idea. It was that God's Spirit prompted whatever took place. And as we look at this, even from Monday night in my own life, as I looked and watching, as we have been in warrior work, and I have seen as we pray for God to work in the person's lives, as you fill out prayer requests, and as we get on our knees and pray every Monday night for those, and as we pray, it's just an amazing time. Let me just say, this week, tomorrow, for this week only, our men will meet back there at 5:30. At 6 o'clock, men or women, if you want to join us, because at 6 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to be right back here in this place. We're going to pray for every chair again. If you want to join us, you're more than welcome to. I know some are still at work. They're in traffic. We get texts all every week. Can't make it. I'm trying to get home from work. Our men will meet at 5:30, but we're going to be right out here at 6 o'clock doing the same thing. You want to join us, you're more than welcome to for half an hour as we pray over every chair. Let me just tell you, it was powerful. As I got up, and it may be redundant repeating myself, but as I looked, those men could have left right after we got done praying. But I looked back and I see men with their arms around each other praying in the back, huddling as men together. Becoming vulnerable, guys. Yep, that's right. Your wives may never believe it, but we did. And I looked up and I looked and I see men with their arms around the drum cage praying for the drums and Brian as he plays that they'll be instruments for God's glory. I saw men at this music stand, holding on to this music stand, knowing that that's where Candy's going to be, and the mic, and my stand, and the percussion. I saw men in the booth praying for the sound people. And I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God was powerful. Very, very powerful. And I looked at our own life, and I wondered in this narrative, where was the power of God as we come? Because often we forget the Holy Spirit in the role of the power of this. Now, I grew up in a church, no lie, I was First Southern on the Hill. And it seems like when you talk about the Spirit of God anymore, Holy Spirit, there's a polarization that takes place. There are those who put the Holy Spirit in a box, and he's over here. Yes, he came at Pentecost. They seem to forget he was mentioned in the first image of creation as well, that the Spirit moved upon the deep. But the issue is the Spirit of God is here, and he's in a box, and yes, we know the fruit of the Spirit, and that's all it is. We don't ever get much more out of that box. The other side of that pole, the polarization of it, is there are those who worship everything about the Spirit of God. It's experiential within the Spirit of God. It is all about the experience of the Spirit of God. And yet I find at times in the polarization of it, those people over there, me, initially would deny and be fearful of the power of the Spirit of God and the promptings of the Spirit of God and the moving of the Spirit of God, listening to the Spirit of God in my life. And yet I find over here in the polarization of it, they're guilty of the very same thing of really listening to the Spirit of God because they worship the experience instead of the Word. And they forget, they choose and they pick and choose which part of the Spirit they want to honor and adore, and usually it falls into the sign gifts or the experiential gifts, and they do little about the fruit of the Spirit, where the Word says if you're in the Spirit of God and you're living in the Spirit of God, these would produce, because their experience is more important than the Word. That's wrong. And so that polarization takes place. And I find myself, why do I say that? Because if you cannot be in either camp and truly identify the role of the Holy Spirit, both in the Christmas narrative or in our lives. We must know the role of the Holy Spirit within that. We don't have time to do all that today. Today I want to look within the Christmas narrative at the issue of really where the Holy Spirit played a role, because he did. We look down with these characters, and it starts early with Zacharias. Zacharias, you see Zacharias was John the Baptist's father. And he was of the division who would go into the temple. They had different divisions who would serve at that time, and they'd go into the temple and they'd make sacrifice. They would, you know, the Holy of Holy type thing, and they'd go into the tabernacle, and that's what they would do, the temple. So it was his turn to go in. So he goes in there and he's old. And as he's standing there, as you read, you need to go back and read it. Luke will read a part of it. As he goes back, they say, the angel Gabriel appears to him and says, hey, Zacharias, over here, guess what? You're gonna be a dad. And Zacharias says, guess what? I don't think so. Do you not see that I am old? We have tried. This ain't happening. Don't give me false hope. Sure, that ain't gonna work. And he says, Zacharias, do you know where I just came from? You're standing in this tabernacle, this temple. Do you know who just sent me down here? Do you have a clue, Zacharias? I came from the Lord Most High, the God Almighty, sent me with a message for you that says, guess what? Pucker up, buttercup, you're going to be a dad. They probably didn't say it just like that. Maybe not. Zacharias said, really? Doubted. Gabriel said, let me just tell you, to prove my point, you're not going to speak again. You're not going to speak. Man, Zachariah, he went out. People knew something had happened. They thought, man, he'd seen a revelation or something, but he couldn't speak. Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. And you, my child, this is going to be John. This is Zachariah's son. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give us his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. Listen, Gabriel was telling Zacharias, your son is going to be the forerunner of Jesus. Your son, the God Almighty, is speaking to Zacharias and saying there's a purpose within that. Now, Zachariah, he finally got to speak. And when he spoke, I don't know what happened in the quietness of those moments. Have you ever been in that situation where, man, you just have to think? You can't speak, you're just thinking. I wonder, in the months that went on with him just in the quietness of his mind, I wonder what took place. Because when he spoke, you need to go read of what he wrote, the prophetic utterance of Zacharias, of John, and of Jesus. You say, well, this has the makings of a real boring story and a real boring message. But listen to me. I like Zacharias' story. Because what it shows me is I look at Zechariah, I look at this, and I'm saying it reminds me that the Spirit of God and that God uses people who may be faithless and don't believe. God, I know you promised this, but I just don't believe. He says, stand back, would you just be quiet and let me be God? Would you stand back and just let me be God? And Zechariah, man, he was supposed to, do you realize in this day and age, if we made an analogy, he would be Pastor Ben, he would be Pastor Bill, he would be the leader, he was representing the people before God. And God came to him and said, hey, you need to do this. And he said, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. You're not speaking anymore. Where we should be the first to say, oh, yes, God, I hear you. I trust God said it. I know you're an angel. That doesn't happen every day. Here you are. Man, that's amazing. Bless God. Thank you. Let's go. I can't wait to tell Elizabeth. That didn't happen. But I'm thankful because guess what? God didn't remove his promise because of Zechariah's unbelief. He said, no, I'm going to prove beyond that. I'm going to prove something miraculous here. Which leads us then to Elizabeth. Elizabeth finds out from the angel that she's going to be pregnant. John the Baptist's mother. You never see her in the nativity scene. That's not really the nativity set that we have. She seems like a minor player. Yet Luke tells us that she as well, not only Zacharias, but she was filled with the Holy Spirit. The point in all of these is I'm saying it's not a prompting that just happened. The Spirit of God was integral, the genesis of what took place here. And Elizabeth is part of that. Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what happens here, Elizabeth, here she's going to be pregnant. That she, as an old woman, is going to be pregnant. And she goes to Mary. We're going to see Mary in a minute. We know the story of Mary. But Mary, who's well, pregnant. And she goes. In fact, Elizabeth stays there 3 months. And as she goes, as she's coming, all of a sudden, she hears the greeting and the baby leaps in her womb. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And John is filled with the Holy Spirit. In the womb. The reality of this is amazing when you think about this. But here is Elizabeth. And I think that Elizabeth, the lesson that we can learn from Elizabeth, just like Zechariah said, man, God can do whatever he wants to do. But Elizabeth really realized, he's done this for me. The Lord has done this for me. He's done good to me. The Lord is good. And nothing is impossible with God. And that's what she took away from it. The spirit of encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible with him. Can you imagine? Here's Mary and here's Elizabeth. Both pregnant miraculously. Think about it. Miraculously, even in the natural method of procreation, but they had that, they were old and they tried and no child. And yet God said, no, I'm going to make it all work. And it worked miraculously. And yet here's Mary, who miraculously has been saved by the Spirit of God and the overshadowing of the Almighty. Both miracles. And in our lives, we may see God do blessings that are just natural blessings. We need to recognize that's of God. Or the miracle of healing, or the miracle of whatever has taken place. And you come to Mary here, and we come to baby John after Elizabeth. There's an interesting, I really want to challenge some of you if you are more of the theologian approach. But the baby John, unlike any other that we've seen, is in the mother's womb. And as you look at John, Luke 1:15, read this verse. John will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. In utero, he was filled with the Spirit. Now, you theologians can go to town, but I'm just telling you, that's amazing. You realize up until this point, the Spirit of God wasn't indwelling people, it was visited upon people. It visited upon the Old Testament, visited upon the prophets, visited upon these things. And yet here we have John in utero, and the angel is saying that even before he is born, he has a purpose before God. He is filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, you can think about that, to think that John, you know, wow. Now, I'm not telling that you and I were filled with the Spirit. There's a different economy of the Spirit of God. But let me tell you what I take away from this when we look at baby John. God had a purpose for John. There's no doubt about it. He had a purpose. He said, you're going to create and you're going to fulfill this purpose. Even John had doubts. John was a forerunner of Jesus, man. He was out there cutting the way. We talk about the mission, you know, Paul and Silas and Mark and Barnabas, you know, starting churches. Listen, it was John who was out there cutting the brush. It was John who was making way for the Savior. It was John saying the Lord is coming, the Son of Man's coming. But while he was in prison, soon to have his head lopped off, soon to lose his head, messenger to Jesus saying, are you really the one that I'm about to die for? Are you really the Son of God, the Son of Man who's going to save and the Messiah of their people? And the message came back, yes, I am he, fear not, I'm the guy. They say, what do you learn from that? I'll tell you what. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. You may not have had the Spirit of God within you, in your utero of your mama. But I do know this. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you were thought of before your mom and dad even had a twinkle in their eye. That before the foundation of the earth, you were important. Why do I not believe in abortion? And why the issue of people tell me, well, when does life can occur? It does not matter to me when life occurs. It doesn't matter. I don't have that argument. I say the same value that Jesus says. And Jesus said, and the psalmist says, you had value before you were even born. You had value before I knew you, man. You had value before that. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't care when. You can argue all you want when it was that that person is alive. I'm saying the value of that person was written long before the life ever began, and that was written by God. And you have a purpose by God. You have a purpose for that, and God's given you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. We look at that and say, God, what is our purpose? We come to Mary. Mary as well. Can you imagine? We've talked about Mary, but can you see if we really were in her? Mary, what did she know? She knew very little. We look back and read what the narrative. But man, Mary had to let go and just trust God. God, you understand this? Even when she's getting jeers from her friends, like, sure, Mary, conceived by the Spirit of God. That's a new word. You know, all those kind of things, you know, all the suffering. We see it as just Mary Magnificat, that she writes the Magnificat and think, oh, she must have had no problem. She was blessed among all women. Yes, she was, but she was also real. She was also human. She felt the baby kick. She probably had great fears. She probably was with Elizabeth saying, man, what do we do about this? And they're both new moms. Can you imagine that? Here she says, I've got a purpose called by God. And he says, man, this is going to be the Son of Man, the Messiah. Am I willing to be that vessel? Yes, but am I worthy of being that vessel? And the answer is no, not really. It's his worth that he gave her. I know it's not popular, but let me just tell you something. We don't carry Jesus in our womb today, but carrying Jesus as your mantle of who you are as a believer may involve suffering. It will involve suffering. Pastor Ben shared last week when we were talking in our dialogue about sharing, taking joy and sharing in the suffering of him. Are you willing to suffer for carrying the cross of Christ? Are you willing to suffer this, that people say, oh, they're not going to look at you and say, yeah, right, you're conceived, because that's not happening. But are you willing to suffer and say, you're a Christian? You're one of those guys? Are you one of those holy rollers? Oh, you need the crutch of Jesus? Are you willing to suffer? Mary, I'm sure, had slings of the people and the insults and the accusations felt by all of them, you know, accusing them of wrong things, assuming wrong things. And she had to say, no, I got to just trust in what God said. I've got to trust in what he says. In this narrative, lastly, that you never see usually is the man of Simeon. The man of Simeon was an older man. He had been praying for many years for the consolation of Israel, for the Messiah to appear. It's an amazing story, Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 32. He talks about that. He said, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, I don't know how long that time frame took place. I don't know how long that was. But moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That had to be of the Spirit of God, because it hadn't been proclaimed to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. Basically, he sees the Christ child and says, okay, God, I can die now. I'm at peace. He's here. He's here. The Messiah is here. And man, I think when we think of Simeon, there's times that we just need to hold on to God's promises with all of our might. It's not about our feelings. It's not about how we feel about something. It's what God says about something. When God says nothing can separate you from His love, we need to believe that nothing can separate us from His love. When God says you give and it's going to be given back to you, you need to trust that. When God says just trust me and walk in the step, I'm going to light into your path, you need to trust that. When we try to get out in front of Him, we need to step back and say, God, I'm just going to trust in you. When we're suffering, even for Christ's sake, we need to say, God, thank you for the ability and to do that. And you are good all the time, as Elizabeth said. And you've done this for me, and I will trust in that. See, the forgotten is the forgotten one in this narrative, the often forgotten one, is the Spirit's voice. I was amazed how much, as I started studying, how much you see the Spirit's impact in the role of the birth narrative. We usually say this, we read it, and we don't think much about it. But it wasn't just promptings from somebody, oh, I have wisdom, or I've got a nice idea. The Spirit of God directed and organized and moved people. And the question today is of the Spirit's voice, are you listening? Are you hearing the Spirit of God? And as I prayed this week, as I prayed for Monday night, I started realizing there's a lot of competing voices out there. And we make a lot of our decisions without ever asking to hear God's Spirit in our heart. We make it for friends. We make it for money. We'll listen to whatever. I don't want to let somebody down, so I'm going to make. But do you ever pray and say, God, I'm not moving. Unless you're with me, I'm not moving. I want to hear your Spirit. And I think a lot of Christianity and a lot of Christendom has forgotten to listen to the Spirit's voice. Forgotten. You're going to move. Do you ask the Spirit of God? Say, God, I want peace about that. Beyond the financial security, I want peace. What may I not be seeing? God, I'm going to do this. Do you listen to the Spirit's voice? Do you hear the Spirit's voice? Do you beg and exhort the Spirit of God within you to give you that prompting listening to? Or man, do we listen to the world? Do we listen to our friends? Do we look at the economy and say, that's what I want to do? Do we listen to self? Is that the Spirit we listen to today? Honestly, because I was studying and really praying for today, I was highly aware of people who told me, well, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I didn't. Maybe I should have, but I didn't because I didn't want to look like, well, you're just setting me up. But I wanted to ask, and you've really sought the Spirit of God on this. You really have the peace of the Spirit of God about this decision. I didn't because I thought, well, you're just setting me up. But are we listening, even in the smallest of ways? One of the men in our life, in our warrior work, I won't say who, was just talking about the fact that last week, after the Sunday message, it impressed him. He was talking to others, and it came out, and here was this conversation. And man, it just blessed him. He just kind of walked right into it and didn't see it, but it really enlightened him and excited him and wanted to make him more aware of listening to the Spirit and talking about the Spirit of God and talking about God to others. Elvia, would you come here? I know you're going to kill me. I want you to come here. Dave, I'm turning this on, okay? Come here. She does not know this. You're going to hate me. No, you won't really. Okay, take this. This is Elvia. You guys know Elvia? She's a blessing. So I sat down. You were sitting here. I asked you how your day went, I'm glad you were here, what's going on. And you said you were really blessed. Do you remember? And you said, I said, why are you blessed? You said, because I really was listening to God this week. Yes. Tell me how. I want you to tell them how. Because I is that too personal?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Can you guys hear me?
Can you hear it? Is it on? Yeah, it's on. Okay, he'll turn it up.
So this week, it was actually yesterday, I was really busy at work, Home Depot. It's crazy right now because of the holidays. And this lady just came out and said, can you help me? And I'm like, yes, I'm going to help you. So she wanted this tree. It was just the last tree. It was this display. And I said, let me see if we have any more. So instead of me calling the department, I just took care of her. And she goes, do you know why I want that tree? I'm like, tell me. She goes, because my mom. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. She goes, but my mom's fighting cancer. And I said, I am in the same boat. And then I asked, I told her, guess what? God's in control of this, and she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. And so she started crying, and I kept saying, come here. Give me a hug. And we kind of cried together. And then I told her again, God's in control, and everything's going to be fine. And then she walked away, and then before everything, I checked out, and I actually prayed for her. I said, what's your name? What's your mom's name? And I had another associate who's a Christian was coming my way, and we all prayed for her. I just listened and said, you know what? I asked God, thank you, because I tell him every morning, use me in any way.
That was it.
That was it.
All right. And that's what one of our men shared at our Warrior Work as well. Just listening, right? Thank you, Elvia. I was so moved because that's exactly what we're talking about. Thank you, Elvia. Yes. The issue of hearing his voice, and the next thing is what Elvia just brought us into, is if you hear it, do you follow it? You may say, well, of course, if I hear his voice, I follow it. You would like to think that's true, don't we? That if I know what I ought to do, if I know what God's telling me to do, I'll do it. But how many of us do that? How many of it is just, man, if I hear it, if I know it, if his peace is upon it, but do I still barter with God, dicker, say, well, maybe there's another way. Maybe it's going to be my way. Maybe I don't. Whose spirit are you listening to? Who are we pleasing? Father God, this morning as we come, I realize there's a lot of competing voices out there. Man, there are friends, there is family, there is the world perspective, there are so many competing voices in our life who will try us to get us to listen to them, much less the evil one who wants us to be defeated, who wants us to make wrong choices, who wants to put us on the shelf. God, this morning I pray, because I know that every chair was prayed for, every person was prayed for in this room. I pray your spirit would make application of this message. I pray that you would move in a great way. I pray in somebody's life, if they need to have the comfort of the encourager, that you will do that. I pray that if we need to be challenged to listen to your spirit, challenged to question our choices, that we will do so. Thank you for loving us this day. Thank you for never separating us from your love. Thank you that the Spirit is living within us and has made us a new creation. May we live in light of that. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.